Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the program. My name is William Hemsworth. It is great to be with you guys on another episode here. And wow, let's talk about John's Gospel today. So who wrote it? And some of you may be like, duh, it says John's Gospel. Well, what you may not understand is that there's quite a few places, quite a few scholars who say that John really didn't write this Gospel. So that's what we're going to look at today. So the Gospel of John, I mean, this is one of those treasures for us as Christians. All right. It mentions, even though it mentions events that occurred in the synoptics, it does so in a way that the author assumes knowledge of them. So John, what I'll say the author for right now, is essentially assuming that his readers have already read the other three Gospels. Okay. The authorship was attested early in church history by notable church fathers like St. Irenaeus. But with the rise of liberal theology, the authenticity of John the Apostle writing the Gospel has come under question. And so many of these questions started in the 19th century. And there are some that have continued to the present. Now, we can see this with some prominent New Testament scholars such as Raymond Brown, who writes this. He writes, as with the other Gospels, it is doubted by most scholars that the Gospel was written by an eyewitness of the public ministry of Jesus, end quote. And so what I'm going to do over the course of this show is look at the various theories. Okay, we're going to look at individuals such as Brett Schneider, Strauss, a theory involving John the Elder, or was the author someone else from the Johannine community? And so I'm going to show, using historical and biblical evidence, that St. John is the author, the likely author. Okay? So, in the 19th century, there arose a firestorm of sorts when it came to those questioning the authenticity of John. And so two of these men were Carl Brett Schneider and David Strauss. Brett Schneider published a work on the Gospel and discussed reasons why John was not the author. He would later say that he never questioned the authenticity of the Gospel, but questioned it to draw attention to it. David Strauss took a different view, as he not only challenged authorship of the Gospel, but even its authenticity. And so in both cases, authenticity was challenged because some of the content was very different than that of the synoptics. And if you don't know what the synoptics are, it's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So the 19th century challenge by Brett Schneider and Strauss to the historical reliability of the Gospel, given the marked differences between John and the Synoptics, were characteristic on this discourse. And so in the case of Strauss, he saw the high Christology of John as a type of writing called myth. Now, for that reason, along with some differences with the synoptics, it's the least reliable of the four gospel accounts, in his view. And so in the eyes of Strauss, the true Christ was a divine spirit which lives within all of us, and humanity should be regarded as the true Christ. Kind of interesting when you think about it. And when I say interesting, it's not in a good way. All right, so this brought on the theory that the beloved disciple mentioned in the Gospel is emblematic of all of us. And so this is what Raymond Brown says, quote, some scholars have evaluated the beloved disciple as pure symbol, created a model of the perfect disciple, that he is never given a name, and that he appears alongside Peter in scenes known to us from the Synoptic Gospels, where no such figure is mentioned, have been invoked as proof of non-historicity, end quote. And so according to Strauss, the stories of Christ's messiahship, miracles, and divinity were added over time. And this can be seen in his work published in 1835, titled Le Ben Jesu. Now in this work, he details that the synoptics were part of the oral tradition, but over time, expectations of who the Messiah was supposed to be were added. They were added to strengthen the Christian movement, but were done so using legend and myth to build up who Christ was. Now, in doing this, this is what D.A. Carson writes. He laid waste to the foundations of historical Christianity. That's pretty much what he did. Think about it. Totally erased who Jesus was. And so in the views of these two men, it was not possible that the author of the gospel was St. John the Apostle. To do so would destroy their whole thesis as a historical Christian document. So to them, the author was anonymous or a community of Christians who added legends to the synoptics. So how about John the Elder? In his work, Ecclesiastical History, Eusebius distinguishes John the Elder from St. John the Apostle. And this is what he writes. Where it is also proper to observe the name of John is twice mentioned, the former of which he mentioned with Peter and James and Matthew and the other apostles, evidently meaning the evangelist. But in a separate point of his discourse, he ranks the other John, with the rest not included in the number of apostles. Placing Aristion before him, he distinguishes him plainly by the name of Presbyter. And so per Eusebius, it was John the Elder who wrote the letters of 2nd and 3rd John. And so the quote I just gave you about John the Elder goes back to a statement given by the church father Papias. Papias most likely knew John, but we don't know, but we do know for sure that he was a contemporary of Polycarp. And so the theory of authorship of John the Elder boils down to a couple key points. The first is that there's presumed to be a second John named by Papias. And so secondly, Eusebius states that the elder is the author of 2nd and 3rd John. So we know those two things. But the language, the grammar, and the style are very similar to that of 1st John. And as a result, this author may have had some connection to the Gospel of John. Few scholars today hold to the view that John the Elder wrote the Gospel. And this is because an examination of the quote from Papias indicates that the term elder and apostle were used interchangeably. And thus, as I'm going to state later, the quote from Papias will be further evidence for John being the author. So another theory that has gained traction over the past few decades is that of authorship from the Johannine community, however you want to say it. This theory insists that traditions from the community were written down over the life of the community. And so in this case, the Johannine community is a community of the beloved disciples. And generally, this theory carries a later date of authorship, around 115 AD, which makes it into the 2nd century. One aspect of this theory that may seem strange to some is the influence of the person named the beloved disciple. And this is what Raymond Brown says about the beloved disciple. The beloved disciple was a minor figure during the ministry of Jesus, too unimportant to be remembered in the more official tradition of the synoptics. All right, so this author was known to some of the readers of the gospel, but he chose to keep his identity a mystery. This figure was an important one to the community, and thus he became the figure in the Gospel of John. In this theory, one must also distinguish between the beloved disciple and the evangelist. The beloved disciple is the source of the Johannine tradition, and the evangelist may be seen as a disciple of the beloved disciple. It all gets kind of confusing. And so in either case, it should not be assumed that one or the other were eyewitnesses to everything described in the gospel, although verses chapter 1, 14, and 16 say that he was an eyewitness to those things. The community may receive the teaching of the Christ on a spiritual level rather than physically being eyewitnesses. So this theory has some issues that we need to address here. One thing that proponents of it do say is that it does not matter who wrote the gospel. Authorship is something that is secondary, as the message is primary. And most scholars, even if they don't agree with that theory, will agree with that for the most part. The message is one of redemption and salvation of mankind, but there are still issues with this theory. The theory itself denies the overwhelming internal evidence that speaks of the authorship of John the Apostle. To strengthen the case against the theory, there's also some extensive external evidence, including testimony from some of the well-known early church fathers. Now, to discover who wrote the Gospel of John, it's going to be a wise move to look at the Gospel itself. And so at the beginning of the Gospel, the author states, quote, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory from the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, from the onset, there's a clear declaration that the author was an eyewitness. Now, this study in authorship is aided by John chapter 21, verse 20, and the mention of the beloved disciple writing the events down. So, thus far, there is little differentiated from the Johannine community theory of authorship. From John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27, we see that the author is a direct witness to the crucifixion. The three at the foot of the cross were not merely minor characters in the drama of the Messiah, but they were mentioned throughout the gospel. One of them was Christ's own mother, Mother Mary. In the passage mentioned from chapter 19, Jesus tells John, "Here is your mother." And like I've said before, the theme in the Johannine community theory of authorship is that the beloved disciple was a minor character. If Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law, he wouldn't do that. If he was some minor character, he would not relegate his mother to a minor character in his ministry. He wouldn't do that at all, because it had to be someone much more important. From reading the gospel account that the author is an apostle, though he's anonymous, because he's never mentioned by name, he goes by the description, the one who Jesus loved. He's listed among the 12 disciples, but is not Bartholomew, Judas Iscariot, Judas the son of James, Thomas, Philip, or Peter. A reading of John chapter 21, verse 2 reveals that he is one of the seven, but not Peter, Thomas, or Nathaniel. By doing this process of elimination, we could deduce that the author is either one of the other disciples listed, or the son of Zebedee. The sons of Zebedee. These two individuals can then be compared to listings of the disciples in the other three gospels. And so, biblical scholar Andreas Kostenberger writes this, quote, "Only the following apostles remain: Matthew, Simon the Zealot, James, the son of Alphaeus, and John, the son of Zebedee." So, in regards to Simon the Zealot, there is not a shred of evidence from history that associates him with the author of the Gospel of John. The same can be said of James. Matthew is already credited with the Gospel of Matthew. So, that just leaves St. John as the author. Now, the early church fathers were pretty much unanimous in their testimony of John writing the gospel. A quote from Eusebius was given earlier in the show, okay, in which he used John the Apostle and John the Elder synonymously as the author. In his great work against heresies, Irenaeus specifically names John the Apostle as the author. The testimony of St. Irenaeus is something everyone needs to read, in my opinion, because it, especially in regard to this issue and the Gnostic issue, but in regard to this issue, it links St. John the Apostle directly with the gospel. St. Irenaeus was a protege of Polycarp, who was a direct disciple of St. John. St. Clement of Alexandria oversaw the famed catechetical school in Alexandria, Egypt. He also believed the book to be authored by John. And this is what Eusebius has to write. John, last of all, composed a spiritual gospel. The great St. Polycarp, my patron saint, is quoted as telling St. Irenaeus, quote, John, the disciple of the Lord, who had also leaned upon his breast, had himself published a gospel during his residence in Ephesus in Asia, end quote. So like I said, Polycarp was taught directly by St. John. It is highly unlikely that he would be creating such a fable in the second century. That, along with other patristic evidence, points to the authenticity of John writing the gospel. Other notable church fathers or figures in the early church, such as Tertullian, for example, confirm what was stated by St. Irenaeus and St. Polycarp. And so the external evidence overwhelmingly supports the conclusion that St. John is the author of the gospel. But I want to look at one more piece of evidence. The early church historian Eusebius also directly names John as the author. Again, in his work Ecclesiastical History, this is what he writes. Quote, they say that John, who during all this time was proclaiming the gospel without writing, at length proceeded to write it on the following occasion. So, my friends, the whole purpose of this show today is to prove that the Gospel of John is written by St. John. Liberal theologians have categorized the Gospel as myth and not historically reliable, but the evidence proves the theory wrong. So we looked at John the Elder being a possibility, but it was determined that those terms were used interchangeably. Friends, look at tradition. The historical evidence is there. The internal and external evidence support the idea that St. John wrote the gospel. It was also belief of the first centuries of the church. It's attested to by church fathers. Even though there's debate among scholars about this, the evidence is overwhelming. The evidence for John is clear. So I just thought it'd be interesting to do a show about that today. I hope if this helps you in some way in affirming scripture. All right, God bless you, my friends. All right, take care. Oh, next week, on next week's show, we're going to talk about assisted suicide and the push to legalize it. We're going to have a scholar from a well-known bioethics organization. So check that out next week on next week's program. God bless you.